Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, 1240 on your dial. It's time for Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus.
That's out. Al is a friend of ours. We recorded the song that was written by Paul Barr in music. So we just hope you enjoy the song. It speaks to just what we're about. Personal, intimate relationships with Jesus. His blessed Mother, the God the Father, the Holy Spirit.
Jesus wants to show the way.
Special guest here today, all the way from way up near Cooperstown, New York, Bob Atapour. And Bob is working with Rosa Mystica, a retreat house, really, up in Edmonton, I believe, New York. And we're going to hear his story and how that retreat house began and the devotions to Rosa Mystica.
And John, looks like we're going to have another easy day. We're not going to work too hard. By the way, that was John Palmer talking. My name is Anthony Chippo. We're co-hosts to the show. And welcome, welcome, welcome. We're two kids with our hearts filled with love for Jesus and the Blessed Mother. And we want to spread that love throughout the area.
And we also have Diane Beecher, who is with us today. And Diane is the listener. The listener. And what that means, you'll find out later on the show if you listen.
So let's sit back. Let Jesus control the show. And let's fill our hearts with love.
Let Al say it.
Sorry, Al.
Today, we're going to spend a good part of our show talking about the Blessed Mother. And as Catholics, a lot of people say, what are you doing? Are you adoring the Blessed Mother? And we say, no, we're not. The Blessed Mother is interceding for us. And we have a devotion to her because she's the mother of Jesus. And we just follow her and place our needs in her heart. In fact, today, the healer of the day is going to be Mary, the Blessed Mother. And she's just very special. And one of the things that we talked about in terms of Mary was that you go to her just like a child running to your mother. So we're going to focus on her today.
And John, aren't we so blessed as Catholics to have the Blessed Mother with us, by our side, coming to us, where we can run to her and hold on to her and talk to her like our mother?
Yeah, it was just so special. And I wanted just to start the day with a lovely song. It's Hail Mary, Gentle Woman. And it just says so much. It's a little upbeat version.
Mother of God, pray for a sinner now, and at the hour of death.
About your mother with that song. Would you care to share that with us?
Yes, my mom, the last few years of her life, she had Alzheimer's, and at the very end, there wasn't really much room for conversation. But when I'd go to visit her, I'd sing that song to her, and I'd say, Mom, this is for the Blessed Mother and for you.
And I'm sure it was touching to you. I can see you filling up. And even just hearing that song, you can feel the peace and the quiet of the Blessed Mother right here in this room. She gave me a prayer, and I'd like to read the prayer, and then we'll get into Rosa Mystica. It's a very simple prayer. Mary, you are our mother. You were given to us by Jesus in his final moments on the cross. You are our model. You completely surrendered your will to the love of the Holy Spirit. and became pregnant with Jesus the Messiah. He brought forth Jesus physically to the world of temporary in which we live and breathe. His life in our world enables us to see beyond time, beyond space, and beyond matter. He shows us the power and the wonder of the mutual love of the Father and Himself. Through the indwelling of this mutual love personified by the Holy Spirit within us. In essence, we become pregnant with Jesus as the moment of our first yes to the power of your spouse, the most Holy Spirit within us. We pray that through your intercession for us to your Son, Jesus the Messiah, that we may see and taste His true presence in us, Eucharistically, scripturally, and through His ongoing touches of love in our hearts. We are weakened humanity. We cry out to you, Mary, our Mother, intercede for us through your Immaculate Heart, as only a mother can. Touch the Sacred Heart of Jesus on our behalf. Ask for a continuous stream of His love in our hearts. We wish only to walk in His resurrected, timeless love 24/7 in our time, so that like you, Mary, we may live with Him in life eternal in love in the New Jerusalem He promised for those who persevere in His love. Thank you, Mary, for being our emissary of love. Thank you, Mary, for interceding for us in the eternal court of love. And thank you, Mary, for your yes, and for being our friend in court. Love us, fallen humanity. I just can't help. I can feel the power of the Spirit here in the room, and I could feel that Mary is listening and leading us today. Tell us a little bit about Rosa Mystica and about your work there.
Well, first, the scripture that comes to my mind is John 19:26, when Jesus on the cross, He says, "Woman, behold your son." And then He says to the disciple, "Behold your mother." But later we see that same disciple who was at the foot of the cross, and from that hour, this disciple took her into his home. And after 2,000 years, God's word doesn't change. It stands firm in heaven. So this word is for us today. As we listen to this scripture, John 19:26, the same Jesus inviting us to take His mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to your home, to your heart, and make a place for her just as His beloved disciple John did. So today I would like to talk about Rosa Mystica. Rosa Mystica is Italian, so therefore in English we say Mystical Rose. And this devotion started in 1947. Blessed Mother appeared to Pierina Ghilli in Italy, who was a nurse, and she came with three swords pierced to her heart. And she wept, and she said three words: prayer, sacrifice, and penance. And later she explained to Pierina Ghilli what those three roses are for, or the three swords. Our Lady said the three swords are three different categories of sins, and in preparation she said she would like to have this devotion called Rosa Mystica. And she said the white flower and the red flower and the yellow flower represents prayer, sacrifice, and penance. As we know, that is the message of the gospel when Jesus says, repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand.
It's the same message that's at Medjugorje.
It is the same message because God's message doesn't change.
That's right.
So she's inviting us to have a new look at our spiritual life. The mysticism, the supernatural life with God through the Blessed Virgin Mary. Saint John Bosco always says, through Jesus, through Mary,
And Montfort also, we find that Montfort's devotion also says to
Jesus. St. Louis de Montfort.
Yes, says is the same, to Jesus, to Mary. So when you want to grow in the spirit, it is the easiest and fastest way is to have a great devotion to Blessed Mother. And therefore, the Rosa Mystica gave a message to a Mother Patricia Linardi in 1960s, and she gave certain numbers to the stigmatist, and she said, I want you to build a chapel at this coordinates. And then later she was able to find that place that was in upstate New York, in Edmonton, near the base of the Hall of Fame, Cooperstown. And she came down there, and then she looked for the place, and later, with the help of monks, they were able to build this chapel. And during that time, Our Lady gave a message to consecrate this chapel to Rosa Mystica. So now it's in operation, and we have retreats there. And it is situated in 484 Angel Hill Road, Edmonton, New York, 13335. You can also find us on the website www.rosamystica.us. You're most welcome to visit that website.
You know, when you talk about Cooperstown being a little ways away with all the Hall of Fame for all these baseball players, Rosa Mystica is like a Hall of Fame for Mary. I've been up there. The beautiful statues, the beautiful crosses, the beautiful grounds, the chapel itself, just like a Hall of Fame, giving honor to Mary. It's really quite special. You got to get up there, Tony.
I'll be there. And Mary must be very happy for the work that you're doing, Bob.
Yes, for me, since I come from India, but I didn't know about this place or this devotion. But when we were praying with my family, Our Lady gave a message as in the vision. She wanted us to go to this place where she has these three flowers on her heart, above her heart. And we didn't know, so we prayed for more clarification. Then she showed us the computer. And so we knew what to do. We looked in the computer and we found this devotion, Rosa Mystica. Later we started going there and we found this beautiful chapel situated on a mountain top. And we entered in there and we saw this beautiful statue of Rosa Mystica, exactly as Blessed Mother said, with three flowers above her heart. When we entered the chapel, we were so excited, we were so happy, and we felt the joy, just like the Elizabeth felt when she was in the presence of the Blessed Mother. That is how I felt when I walked into that chapel, and feeling the power of the Spirit, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, giving us that joy beyond, the peace beyond our understanding. So,
Bob, just when I walked into the chapel, I didn't realize you had that, but I had that too. I was almost knocked over by the power and the joy of the Blessed Mother. I really felt it so powerfully. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. You know, and I know you speak several languages, and we have an Indian community that listens. We got to get you into that community so that they can hear what's going on there. Go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
And then we prayed with there, and we learned that that's a special place chosen for the renewal of the United States of America, and there will be great light going from there to the many part of the world. And so we were excited to be there that day, and we went home. Later, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw two Blessed Mother standing, one the Rosa Mystica, the other Our Lady of Lourdes.
Okay.
But I did not understand the dream, so I went to the adoration. Usually I go in the evening to Mass and then adoration. I prayed to the Lord, and the God, the Holy Spirit, gave me the inspiration to get a statue of Rosa Mystica. So my second trip to Rosa Mystica in Edmonton was to get this statue. So I traveled again to this mountaintop in Edmonton, and I bought the statue, and the priest was there, and he blessed the statue. I took it home. After maybe a month later, this statue started giving tears. The tears started rolling from her eyes, fragrance of roses started coming from this particular statue. So I called my family and friends. We were so excited and we were so delighted to see this phenomena that is happening there. So we did not know what Our Lady wants us to do. But later, the third time when I went up there for a retreat, Our Lady asked us to be there, to be a part of Rosa Mysteria and serve from there. So since 2007 onwards, me and my wife Nirmala, we both stay there and take care of the chapel and take care of the pilgrims and arrange retreats and conferences there.
You know, I just want to say a word about these kinds of personal experiences that we all receive. When you're open to God, all these wonderful things happen. They can happen in dreams, they can happen in words, they can happen in silence, can happen in feelings of peace. And the only admonition that we have to give is that these are personal, and we cannot ascribe anything that beyond ourselves, but this is part of our relationship with God. So when we say we hear or we've been given or whatever, that's coming through our imagination and the way we relate to God, and we pray and try to discern, is this really from God? The fruits of whether it's from God, Bob, is just that the joy that's in your face right now as you talk.
Amen, because I remember the scripture, you know, when Jesus says, by the fruits you shall know them. And the fruits we can find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. So if that manifests, because in our life, then we know that only the Holy Spirit can bring the real peace, joy, love, self-control, all the other fruits into our life. So Jesus always, you know, even in Thessalonians, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see, test every spirit, and when you know, but don't let the prophecy be disregarded. Then he is telling us, you know, look for the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So as for me and my family, just Joshua said, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. And you know, we can't talk about Rosa Mystica without talking about Noreen and Joe Von Swell, who really have brought it to life with all of the support that they've given, the beautiful things they've done up there.
Yes, this chapel was abandoned for many years. Then the foundation, the Mann Foundation from Long Island, Joe and Noreen, they heard about it, and they bought the chapel and they renovated the chapel in 2003, reconsecrated to Rosa Mystica again. And since 2003 onwards, we have retreats, conference, and many families come there, many individuals come and visit. Best groups from Canada started coming now. So there is a lot of fruits that we see. Most of them, when they come, they go to reconciliation, they go to confession. Some of them are away from the church, from the church for many years, some of them 20, 25, 30 years. But once they come into that chapel and spend some time there, they receive that special grace, the grace to come back to Jesus. And they go to the sacraments, and the priests are very happy to see that the people of God are returning into the sacraments.
And that's coming back to Jesus through Mary. And that's what Jesus says, my mother will bring you back to me. We also have saints who we follow and pursue, and these saints lead us back to God in different ways. So that as we go on, Tony, who do you have as the saint today?
Well, today I'm going to have another disciple, Saint Andrew, brother of Saint Peter. Saint Andrew, after he heard about Jesus, to John the Baptist. He was a follower of John the Baptist. And when Jesus got baptized, he saw Jesus there. And he ran to his brother Simon Peter and says, I have found the Messiah. John's Gospel tells us that Simon and Andrew were brothers and were followers of John the Baptist, and one day decided to leave everything and to follow Jesus. This Gospel tells us that Andrew met Jesus before Simon Peter. For this reason, Andrew is sometimes named the first disciple. Both Andrew and Peter were selected by Jesus to be fishermen of men when they decided to leave everything and follow Jesus, as we should be following him ourselves. Andrew is mentioned several times in the gospel, along with his brother Simon and brothers James and John. He seems to have been among the closest followers of Jesus. One day, a huge crowd was following Jesus and onto the mountain, and he heard him speak. After many hours, it became evident that the people were hungry and had nothing to eat. Andrew noticed that one boy in the crowd had a basket of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he said to Jesus, "I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. The people are hungry." And Jesus says, "Bring them here." He prayed over them, and the rest is history. After Jesus blessed the food, it was shared with among thousands of people, and amazingly, everyone had enough to eat, with fish and bread left over. When Andrew and the others left their jobs as fishermen to become Jesus' disciples, Jesus says he would make them fishers of men. After the end of Jesus' life, Andrew and the other disciples were baptized with tongues of fire from the Holy Spirit. And they started to travel widely, telling people all about Jesus. In this way, Andrew became a fisherman for Jesus, catching people and bringing them the good news. Something like John and I are trying to do.
I'm just thinking the same thing.
History suggests that Andrew visited a place in the southern part of Greece. There, he persuaded the wife of an important Roman official to become a Christian. Her name was Massimilla. Her servant also became a Christian. Her husband got so angry because he convinced his wife to become a Christian. He had Andrew beaten and thrown into prison and said that Andrew should be put to death by being crucified on the seashore. When it came time for crucifixion, Andrew was not nailed to the cross. He was tied tightly, very tightly, by a rope with a cross in the shape of an X. He stayed alive for 2 days on that cross, preaching. More than 2,000 people came to listen to him preach, and many became Christians. Eventually, Andrew died. He became so weak. Massimilla and the servant came to take down the body and washed it lovingly and buried it properly. St. Andrew has been selected to be the patron saint of Russia and Scotland and many other countries. His feast day is November 30th. He died for Jesus, converting thousands of people to the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, he was an evangelist. Same as we are. That's what this show is all about. We're evangelizing, believe it or not, Catholics. Okay, Catholics, you've lost something. You've misplaced your religion. You've misplaced your devotion to Jesus in the Eucharist. You've misplaced your devotion to the Blessed Mother. You've misplaced so many things. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you hiding out from God? Come on back. He wants you back. He loves you. That's what our show is about. He loves you. And he'll come to you through Rosa Mystica, and he'll also come to you through word gifts. And we want to talk a little bit about word gifts, because people think we're a little strange with that.
But isn't it so wonderful that our God, our Savior, our Lord is down at our level and wants so badly to be by our side and to be our friend and our brother and our big brother?
And you know, when you talk about word gifts, I remember getting the word gift one time saying, "You can't come up to my level, so I'm going to come down to your level." Or he said, "Excuse me, I'm going to come down to your level." And he does. He talks to us. He helps us. He enlightens us. Diane is with us, Diane Beecher. And Diane has been, she calls herself the listener. And we have to listen to what the listener says. Diane, tell us a little bit about your gifts.
Well, I first was introduced to scripture journaling about 10 years ago. Our shepherds at Solomon's Porch had come back with a charismatic renewal weekend, and they were very excited about this wonderful process that you could go through with scripture. And when they explained it to me, it was just something that it just seemed so right to me. So I
I took it and ran with it. As a matter of fact, I left them in the dust because they were like scripture journaling once a week, and I was like scripture journaling every day and very excited about it. It gave me a chance to read scripture, to reflect on it, then to respond to God as to how it made me feel. And lastly, which seemed very awkward at first, was to listen, just to sit and listen. And in the beginning, it was kind of hard, but I was a teacher at St. Christopher's School for many years, and I was teaching the children how to do it, and they were having a hard time too. And then I said one day, well, just say your name. So I would say, Diane, and then I'd wait. And just by saying my name, having the Lord call me by name, it just opened up to various words or images that I would write down. I have to tell you, the children left me in the dust. They just were able to go with it.
Wonderful.
So that kind of challenged me too. But I've been doing it for 10 years, and about 3 or 4 years ago, I would share with the shepherds, because I eventually became a shepherd.
A shepherd is the leader of the prayer group.
That's right. I shared with them some of the things that I was journaling on. And Sarah Ryan, who I think a lot of people know,
we all know,
owns many of the Advent shops all across Long Island.
You know her lovingly.
She had said, Diane, this is not just for you. She says, I think it's for the community, you know. So they encouraged me to share it with the community. And I have to say, when you talk about testing, when you write, I don't share with the community unless I've read it to the shepherds. And they discern whether they feel.
Good.
And I'm open to any changes if they do have something to say, you know, because we know it basically that it's from God, but the Spirit talks to me may not directly be what the Spirit wants to the community. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Did you bring a sample too?
Oh, I did. I did. I
kind of knew you would, because I could see the pile of papers.
I wanted to just say one thing. As a segue, when we're talking about just Catholics, falling away Catholics and the like, and there are a lot of us that aren't falling away, but maybe we just go to church on Sunday and we think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And during the week, when I was preparing the listener, God gave me something very political. I think it was Thomas Paine wrote, are you a sunshine patriot or a summer soldier? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, is that what I'm supposed to write about, you know? And the words he gave me when I was writing the listener were, are you a Christian of convenience or are you a Christian of conviction?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's how I don't have that with me today, but that is how, more or less how it went with the listener as I wrote.
He challenges you.
Yes.
That sounds like Jesus.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely.
Okay, I do have one I'd like to read.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. This is called, Who is Your Elizabeth? Who is your Elizabeth? My mother Mary sought out her dear relative Elizabeth shortly after Gabriel visited her. The visitation by Gabriel and the message he brought were somewhat overwhelming. This experience and the exciting news about Elizabeth being her child, being with child, made her want to visit her cousin immediately. With deep emotion, she set out, all filled with awe and wonderment. She looked to Elizabeth for confirmation. Elizabeth was her port in a storm, someone she could go to for assurance, someone she could trust, and she stayed with her for 3 months. You too need an Elizabeth to share with and confirm your faith. Your faith is constantly unfolding, developing, and maturing amid life's crisis. Whether it is a person or a group, you need an Elizabeth to help you chart a true and holy course in life. I have created you to be in community, community with me and community with each other. My Spirit resides in the hearts of my followers. I have given different gifts to each of you. These gifts are meant to be spent so that you can help each other. Reach out, energize, and challenge each other. Comfort those who come to you. You are each a part of my body, each part supporting the other, so that the whole body sustains and grows in accordance with my purpose. You are all Elizabeths to each other.
witnessing to my presence among you, just as Elizabeth bore witness to my presence in Mary's womb at her visitation. Pray together and share your faith. With the help of my Holy Spirit, reach out to each other to build up the communion of saints.
Well, you know, that Elizabeth certainly fits with what Bob was talking about earlier. When you walk into that Rosa Mystica Chapel, don't you jump, doesn't your soul jump for joy?
Yes, whenever you are, as I said, in the presence of the Blessed Mother, when you pray to her, the daily rosary, the Hail Mary, when you greet her, she is coming to you. And when she is around, you will feel that joy. You will feel that presence. You want to be the child of God. You don't want to stay where you are now. You want to go back to where you belong, to the kingdom of God, to become the child of God. That is where you are destined to be. So get this together and go to the sacrament of reconciliation.
Amen.
And get that anointing. That is, you know, yesterday we went to a home and there were two young people. And as we were praying with them, the Spirit of God told us, tell young people to go to the confession. So I asked them, how long have you been to confession? And they said, many years, many years. And it is the same case. Whenever we meet, you know, some family or friends, and they're the same. They don't go to confession. And the Lord inspires them, tell them, you know, get back to confession. And when I shared this with them, they were willing to go. The other day I met another lady, a nurse, and she came for prayers, and during the prayers she was afraid to go to confession. She said, I have done horrible things. I don't think God can forgive me. So I told her, that's a lie. Jesus will forgive you. All you have to do is to say sorry and go to the confession. And after a week she came back to me and she said, I want to talk to you more. And so I told her the example of chapter 8 of John, where you see the woman caught in adultery, and I explained to her, everybody wants to accuse her and, you know, stone her, but Jesus did not. Jesus said, I'm not condemning you, go in peace, but do not do it again.
That's right.
And she was crying, I could see the tears coming from her eyes. And there were other people too, many, many of them. So I think it's time for us to go back to that sacrament of reconciliation and get the grace that God wants you to feel with, you know, so that will be, that way you will be joyful, you will be happy, and God can direct you in your everyday life.
Bob and Diane, Bob, you were chosen by the Blessed Mother to do her deeds. And Diane, you were chosen by Jesus to give messages, just as Dr. Palmer has been chosen. I was wondering, has your whole lives been filled with devotion, Bob, to you, to the Blessed Mother, and you, Diane, to Jesus? Or did this just happen slowly and gradually, and just, it wasn't that it pulled you in like a cyclone, but just drew you to them on a very slow basis?
I have to say, I'm a product of pre-Vatican II. So when I grew up, I knew that Jesus had opened the gates of heaven for me. But somehow I got it in my head, I was the one that had to save myself. So I was always busy trying to obey the laws of God and the laws of the church and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. So I can't say that as a child I really grew spiritually. And also I remember Mary did not become very important in my life until much later, because I remember being told by one of the good sisters that my mother was no longer my mother, that Mary was now my mother. And something in my head just pushed Mary aside. And you had said that it's amazing how Mary will bring you to Jesus. But I have to say, in my case, Jesus has brought me to Mary,
mother.
You know?
How about you, Bob?
Yeah. Well, my devotion to Mary started from my family, because they started praying the rosary every night. So we, as children, are encouraged to participate there, not knowing what we are doing, but we are afraid to get beaten. So we will pray the rosary. But when I was 20 years, that is when I went to a charismatic retreat, and where I felt the Holy Spirit coming upon me powerfully. And that was a transforming moment in my life, a life-changing moment. And I made a good confession, and later I felt joyful and anointing of the Spirit. So slowly I started hearing more from within, like a locution. I didn't know who was this, and later I found that is the way the Lord gives messages. So I listened to that in the beginning. That was in 1990. So since then, you know, I have great devotion to Mary. And when my mother passed away, I went to the chapel of the hospital where she passed away, and I knelt in front of this Blessed Mother statue, and I said, Blessed Mother, be my mother. Be my mother. And since then, she is always there to guide me. When I have to make decisions, I pray to her intentionally, and then she guides me. And how do I hear her? Sometimes, as I said, it's within your heart. Sometimes when you close your eyes, the Holy Spirit gives you images, and you pray more and discern, and then you walk.
Yeah, my devotion, Tony, it went on for years. I would go and I would pray, and I'd be open, and I would hear words. But it wasn't until last August, when we had the relics of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary go through our diocese, that he began to tell me that the words that you get are coming from the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you're getting a gift of unity and love. Wow. And I said, me, that doesn't fit me. The one thing, you know, we've been very serious, but when I get words, I have a funny spirit. And I think it's because I'm a little odd and peculiar myself. But
I never said that.
But I remember this past week, I was going to adoration over at St. Francis Hospital. And like a good person, a Catholic who goes to church, there were four people who go there. We always sit in the same seat. God forbid we should sit someplace else. I had gone out to the men's room, and I came back, and I somehow was moved to say, you know what? I'm going to change my seat. And I moved up in the church, right? And this is the words I get. But it's a very important lesson. But it's an interesting lesson, though. My, aren't you the bold one? You moved to a different pew in the chapel, and the roof hasn't fallen in on you. Oh, how daring you are. You moved closer to us. Come into my web, says the spider to the fly. We promise we won't hurt you. You'll be able to hear our words more clearly just because you've chosen to come close to us. Then stops. Then he says, oh, my friend, how we delight in teasing you through these words that we share in you. We love attaching meaning to the simple things you do. We know that you'll think about this while you're here. We can hear your questions now. What does he mean? I was just kidding around by moving closer. Should I change where I sit? Have I messed things up? Maybe I should move back. Am I being impertinent and impulsive again, Lord? We chuckle at questions such as these. They merely reflect the false pride of humanity. You think that what you do affects what we do in you. Let us repeat for the record. We do as we wish in you in much the same way as you change pews. Makes no difference to us where you sit. We still love you all the same. We still do as we please in you. We're impulsive too. If we decide to come down off this cross and sit next to you, then that's what we'll do. If we decide to put our arm around you and teach you more about trusting us, then that's what we'll do. If we decide to be impertinent and butt into your nice, neat conceptualizations about us, then that's what we do. In fact, we decide to do all these things now. Here we come. Imagine my feelings. Here we come. You can't stop us from doing our thing, can you? Well, what does that say about us? We did not choose to stop you from changing pews. We could have, but we chose not to do so. We let you do as you freely choose to do. What does that say about you? What does that say about us? We assure you can figure this out on your own, We trust you to answer these questions on your own. We don't have to spoon feed you everything after all. We gave you intelligence, didn't we? Well, the lesson is over. You figure out the answers on your own. We need a break. See you later. That's the kind of stuff I get. It's not theologically sound, I'm sure, but it's personal, it's funny, and it's really, really very instructional.
But John, that's the type of God, that's the type of Lord, that's the type of Savior we have. He wants to be on our level. And you're very comical, and he's very comical with you.
I'm also a very cynical man. People think I'm, he's such a holy man. It gets where I am so cynical, and I question everything. And I ask every time I pray, identify who you are. I want to know who you are. And I don't validate or accept the words unless I hear, I am Jesus the Messiah speaking in you with the ascent of our Father through the indwelling of our most Holy Spirit. And unless I hear that, I don't accept the words. And sometimes when I said, who are you? And I don't get an answer, then I say, in the name of Jesus, I demand you identify yourself so that we know who you are. And one time, I get all different kinds of answers, and then immediately I hear, in the name of Jesus, I bind and cast you out, and I send you directly to the foot of the cross. And now I seal up that opening, and I fill you with my love and my grace. Now, at this point, the men in the white suits are waiting for me.
I just want to say, and he's also your best friend, and I found out from journaling, which I just started, by the way, Diane, and have been confirmed that he wants to be our brother. And he wants to be our big brother. And so
that's
what he's talking to you as, John. He's talking to you as the big brother.
And all of you have to realize, those of you who are listening, we're not crazy. We're in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And at the center of what we believe as Catholics is true presence in the Eucharist. That truly is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. So that, Bob, when you say, go to confession and come back to the church, and Jesus can't wait to hug people. At St. Aidan's, when you go to confession, they have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament at the same time during confession time. And you come out and you say your penance before the true presence in the monstrance. So beautiful. I'm going to be quiet now because I said a lot.
I said an awful lot today, John.
And I'm not that you should have. We also have a healing section of our show. And we have on the table before us petitions, Bob. And we have a silent partner here, and Colleen McCormick, who works with the people from Rosa Mystica and the Mann Foundation, and helps with brought these people here today. But we have people who send us petitions, and we pray for them. So if you don't mind, would you put your hands over them? We just ask, Lord, would you please bless these petitions? And we want to let you know that the woman that we've been praying for the past several weeks, who has Chiari disease and had surgery on Wednesday, I went to see her Thursday night and brought her the Eucharist, and the surgery was successful, and she is recovering now.
And also David, a 7-year-old child that we've been praying for, and just is going through his chemotherapy. He's having his birthday party next week, and he's doing just fine.
Okay.
So, I'd also like to ask for the intercession of Pope John Paul II for a young boy. His name is Philip. He has an inoperable brain tumor, and we're all trying to intercede to John Paul II. He needs another miracle, I understand.
He was a miracle.
Yes.
You know, and we're praying for all these people here, and I hope that the music can get going in the background. It's coming. Here we go. And holy, holy, holy is praying. And Jesus, we place all of these people before you. We ask you, touch their hearts now, Lord. Help them, Lord, to come alive in the knowledge that you are there with them. And is nothing more powerful than to be in touch with your love, to be in touch with your healing forgiveness. And thank you, Lord. And I ask all those around the table, you, whatever comes into your heart, your mind, just say it so that we can share the healing love. I'm not the only person with a word gift around this table.
Lord Jesus, I pray for the person who is suffering the back pain. And thank you for touching that person and healing him right now.
Praise
you. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
Praise you. Praise you, Jesus.
And for the woman who lost her daughter to suicide at Christmas time.
Yes.
And she called me yesterday. Lord, we know you're with her. Please redirect her. Lift her up, Lord, from that terrible pain. And the other mother who also lost her daughter to suicide. What a terrible, terrible loss, Lord. Enter into them. Touch them, Lord.
And for Kimberly, who also has a brain tumor. It's a fibroid tumor, a very serious condition. We just ask the Lord to miraculously work in her life.
And all those of you that have lost your jobs, suffered depression, are down and out, just remember Jesus said, and our Heavenly Father said, I will provide. Just put yourself into Jesus' hands, and he will provide for you.
He's saying right now in my heart, I am here with you right now. I am here right now, going out over the airways, giving you the blessing and the love that you need. I know exactly where to go in your heart, and I am going there right now. Come, come, my child, lift yourself up, stand tall in my love, be alive in my love. Let me touch you, let me lead you. I am healing cancer in some people who are listening. There are those who have cancerous growths and are hysterical about it. I tell you now that I will lift you out of the hysteria.
Thank you.
I may not take away every cancer, but I will heal those in the ways that I see fit. Some will get physical healing, some will get mental, and all will get emotional healing. I will touch you, and I will bring you closer to me by the illness. I do not give illness. I do not give illness. I walk through it with you, and I am here now blessing you.
At this time, I would like to pray for the military of the United States of America, those who are serving in Afghanistan and Iraq and various parts. Let us remember that great men who are serving at this time for our independence and freedom. Let us lead them and their families and their dear ones to the Blessed Mother, to the intercession of the Blessed Mother, to the Lord, and ask them, ask Jesus to come into their life, protect them and guide them, fill them with the Holy Spirit and their family and their dear ones. We pray to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for the military of the United States, Lord. We thank you for this great women and men who are supporting the country, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We adore you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you.
As a man who is listening to this radio program, who is contemplating suicide,
praise you, Jesus.
And we're telling you now, that's not the way. That's not the way.
Praise you, Jesus.
Just turn your heart over to us. Write out these feelings. We will have somebody call you so that you can get through this time.
Praise the Jesus.
Suicide is not the way.
No.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Jesus. In Jesus' name, we wait.
There are several children who have brain tumors, brain cancers, and we're entering into the children, giving them the joy of Elizabeth, and Mary, my mother.
Praise the Jesus. Thank you.
And now I call upon all listeners to rejoice. Lift your hands up high. Lift your hands up high.
And you
come into
Lord,
you praise. You know, I'm risen. I am risen. And we're going to go on to the next song so that you can know I'm risen. All right, you just be patient now as we tell you. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus in your life. Celebrate him. Father Charles Mangano.
Celebrate Jesus. Charles and Lori will be with us in April. Around the table. Hurry up. Everybody up. Let's go. Couples only. Nice to the right. Come on. Careful time. Head forward. Clap your hands. It's allowed, folks. If you're at home, if you're driving a car, don't clap your hands. Otherwise, clap your hands. Pray it's the joy of Jesus in your heart. Amen, Lord. Thank you for being with us today, Lord. Thank you for all the wonderful gifts that you share. Praise the Lord. Thank you for Rosa, Mr. Bob, and thank you to Diane for sharing her words. And praise you, Lord.
Thank you
for Brian behind the window over there who took our Trevor's place today. Thank you, Brian. Excellent job. Good job.
Praise you.
No candy, but good job. Email us. Tony, tell them where to send the email so we can get them in touch with Rosa Mystica.
Listen up. Listen up. 1240 at AOL.com. That's LISTEN 1240 at AOL.com. Send those emails, send your cards, send your letters. We love them. We respond to each and every one of them.
You won't be able to get rid of us.
And we're reaching out to all the parishes and all the communities.
Amen.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.